when the Titanic sinks, we need to get in the lifeboats. A life of sin is a sinking Titanic. We need to get in the lifeboats. Jesus Christ came for that very purpose, to save our souls. And the way you kept coming in tonight, I thought we were going to have to put a no vacancy sign out here in front of the building. Thank you to all of you for coming tonight. Seriously, every soul is precious to God. He sent his Son to save us from going to hell. He sent his Son to prepare a place for us in heaven. And we need to be in the lifeboat. If you're not in the lifeboat, we'll sing a song in a few minutes and give you an opportunity to come tonight and get in that lifeboat. I want to thank Brother Craig, Sister Sherry, Sister Dawn for extending their hospitality to me throughout this week. And it's a joy to have Donna here the last 2 days. I wish she could have been with us all week. And also appreciate them opening their home for all of us this afternoon. Only thing that could have made it any better is for all of us to have been there. But it truly was a joy to be together with God's children for that period of time. I do want to talk to you about thirsty souls seek God in the Philippines. And we're going to study from Psalm 63. Please open to Psalm 63. David was in distress. And in a time of distress, he was longing for God, just like we do when we're in distress. So let's read in Psalm 63 now, verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. David felt like he was in a scorched land, and I need God, I'm thirsting for God, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. In the sanctuary, in the place of worship, he learned about the true and the living God. And now he needs that God in his life, just as you need this God in your life, and I need this God in my life. Now, God is found by those who seek him. That's really what we're going to be talking about. God in love seeks for man. He loves us. Man in need seeks for God. That's how it works. Salvation means God's greatest love meets man's greatest need. That's what salvation is. We have a lot of needs, but salvation, save our soul from sin, that's the greatest need. And so with that background, then we'll talk about thirsty Filipinos who are seeking God. But I want to remind you how that God in his love seeks for us. In the book of Isaiah, God is pictured as he seeks after man. Turn to the very first chapter of Isaiah. Now, sinners turn against the Father's love and the Father's law, and God tries to win us back. That's the amazing part of the story. So Isaiah 1, now beginning in verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Nothing is more painful to parents than a child that turns his back on his parents. That's the picture of what we do to God. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. Animals know the hand that feeds them, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Had you ever thought of our sins biting the hand that feeds us? That's right. Oh, he said, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. Our sin, our stubbornness provokes the anger of God. They are gone away backward. That expression means they turn their back on God to do their own thing, as we say in these times. Turn their backs to God. What a horrible picture. Now the Lord still loves the sinner. That's the amazing thing. Let's read, drop down to verse 16. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Open your hearts to those around you and help them. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A loving God reaching out to those in sin who turn their backs on him. You see, God's love is seeking man. And God rules over the history of this world and the nations of this world with one object in view, seeking man. Seeking man. In Acts 17, Paul explains that to the idol worshippers in the city of Athens, though the true God. But Christ calls sinners to repent and to seek the true God. Look how Paul explained it. This is Acts 17, beginning in 24. Acts 17, 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. They thought their gods lived in those temples they made. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. We do not sustain the life of God. He sustains our life. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed bounds of their habitation. So he created all the nations of the earth, and he rules over the times of the nations and the boundaries of the nations. We don't have the ability to see how he does that, but he does that. Why does he do it? The next verse is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Shows me what God is all about. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. A great God ruling the nations so that he can seek and find Al and seek and find Wilma and seek and find you, seek and find me. Did you know that's why he's ruling this universe? To seek our souls and bring us to salvation. That's a loving God. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. We are the offspring of God. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. So God is not an image, an idol. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Pause and let's ask, have I repented? God commands all men everywhere to repent. Or am I still turning my back on God, stubbornly persisting in my sins? I need to repent because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Christ is raised from the dead and will come again to judge this world. Have you repented? Are you prepared for that last great day? Because in love is seeking us to save us. Man in need seeks after God. Yes, men in times of danger and distress turn to God. They begin to look for God. Now, David was in a time of distress back in Psalm 63. He was longing for the God who delivers. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. There's no water in our sins. That's a scorched earth. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. We have seen the Lord as we learn of him and worship him, and we need to turn to him. Now, the sick should seek God in prayer. And it's not unusual they do that. James 5 talks about that. God hears his people's prayers. Turn to James chapter 5. We studied some the other night how that the miracles have ended, which Jesus and the apostles did, but he still hears prayer. God still hears prayer and answers through his providence. James 5:14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now that's referring to the fact that in the first century, the apostles had laid their hands on elders, giving them the power to heal the sick. Why was that done? Do we remember our discussion last night? Confirming the word, confirming the truth. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. That's the power they had. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Sometime in sickness, we think about our sins. And so it's a good time to reflect on your life and make correction. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, this is from the New International Version. But the power of a righteous man is powerful and effective. We turn to God in prayer in times of sickness. And then men facing death seek God. Let's think about Stephen in Acts 7. When he preached the gospel to the people, they were so enraged, they picked up stones and stoned him to death. But Jesus receives the spirits, the souls of his people in death. Acts chapter 7, verse 59. They stoned Stephen. Now, what was Stephen doing? Was he cursing them? No, sir. Calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died with the spirit of forgiveness in his heart. And he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. When it's our time to die, we could pray that same prayer. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. In the face of death, we do need to seek God. Sinners die often expecting to be with God, and they find out too late they're in torment. Isn't that tragic? Acts 16, 22, 23, Jesus gave a case like that. Acts 16, 22, it came to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Poor Lazarus had nothing of this world's goods, but he had riches with God. Now the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell, Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Don't you know when that rich man died, he thought he would be ushered into the palaces of God? I often think of that when I go to funerals, of people that died in sin. And the preachers will get up and preach them right into heaven, but the Bible says they're in torment because they died in sin. In the face of death, and we're all facing death, we just don't know when. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. Now, man seeks God to ask forgiveness, and that's what we should do. When our heart softens and our stubbornness breaks, then we're ready to ask forgiveness. No more excuses. Cover up, whitewash. But Psalm 51, 1 and 2. God alone can pardon our sins. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Have you ever been tired and filthy? Maybe you worked in the yard all day or you did some other laborious task and you get in that shower and you shower off and it feels so refreshing. Your soul will be refreshed like that. When you ask God to forgive your sins. Man needs God. Now, salvation means God's greatest love is meeting man's greatest need. What is our greatest need? Salvation. God meets that need. He provides salvation by his own grace, his own initiative. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read a few verses about that. Ephesians 2. Sinners deserve the wrath of God, but God wants to save them. He doesn't force anyone to be saved, but he deeply wants to save us. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That just means Satan cannot be seen with our eye, but he's active in this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. When we live in sin, we are the children of disobedience. We obey Satan, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, by nature of our stubbornness and our sinfulness, we are children of disobedience, we are children of God's wrath. Now, people in our time don't believe God is a God of wrath. They think he's only a God of love, but he's a wrath when it comes to sin. He's a God of wrath, and we will face that wrath if we die in sin. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ, just like Christ was raised up from the dead. God can raise us up from our sins. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What beautiful expressions, rich in mercy, his great love, by grace you are saved, his kindness, the gift of God. God wants to save us, and he will if we will allow him to do it. Think about the origin of the plan of salvation. Did Craig Thomas make the plan of salvation? No. Did Ron Halbrook? No. Did you make the, who made the plan of salvation? God did. Well, what about the sacrifice? We need a sacrifice for salvation. Now, who was the sacrifice? Was that Ken? Was that Mike? Who was the sacrifice? God gave the sacrifice. Well, but we need a revelation. In other words, we can't know all of that unless God will reveal all of that. So who is the origin of the revelation? God is the origin of the revelation. So God is the origin of our salvation from the start to the finish. The only question is, will we receive it? Will we receive it? He won't force anybody to receive it. And we receive salvation by obedient faith, choice. In Romans 1, we learn about the gospel plan that offers salvation on the condition of obedient faith. This is in Romans 1, verse 5. Paul explained why Christ made him an apostle and sent him out preaching. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. God is trying to convince us to believe his word enough that we will obey his word. That's how we receive salvation. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Did you notice he doesn't force it on anyone? It's up to you. We can believe it or not believe it. For therein, in the gospel, therein, pointing to the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. Would you like to be right with God? That would be the righteousness of God. It's revealed in the gospel how to be right with God. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It means when you are convinced that the gospel is true and willing to obey it, that's how you receive salvation. Turn just a couple of pages, Romans 6. In Romans 6, penitent believers submit to Christ in water baptism to receive his atoning blood. So we act upon our faith, and here's what happens. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life. Look how simply he teaches this. What happened to Christ? He died. What did they do when he died? They buried him. What happened the third day? Came out of the grave alive. He's making a parallel here. What happens is we die to the love of sin. And somebody will bury us in the waters of baptism. You go down in the water, you're covered in the water, you're buried in the water. And then you're raised up as clean as a new driven snow. Your soul is pure. And you have begun a new life in Christ. And that's how we receive salvation, forgiveness. Now, thirsty Filipinos are seeking God and seeking that salvation. Philippine Islands are located south of China, if you look at a world map. And there are 7,000 islands plus in the Philippines. Most of the people live on about 12 of those islands. There's something in the culture of the Philippines at this time of history that many people are just seeking God. It's 80% Catholic, but this Catholicism is a very superstitious religion, and it's very corrupt. They have priests and bishops that have homosexual lovers in public. And so even though the people don't know what is the right way, they know there's something wrong with this picture, and it creates a searching kind of an attitude. So I've been going there since 1995. God willing, I will go in December. That will make my 72nd trip. And the reason I keep going back, it's a harvest time. People are searching for the truth. So July the 3rd through August the 2nd was my 71st trip. Zach Martin and his wife, Taya, went with me. They could not stay the whole time. But I want to tell you how that happened. This is a young married couple. He has finished the first year of medical school. She is a teacher. And they approached me one time, then almost a year ago, and said, would you mind if we would come by your house and talk with you? Now, they haven't been married long, so my heart sank. I thought they were having marriage problems. But when they came, they said, we hear these reports about the Philippines. Could we go with you? I about fell off my chair with joy. And they did go. And both of them, excellent work. They both prepared lessons so she could teach the ladies and he could help me in teaching the men. And that young couple, about 23, 24 years old, made their first trip, and I hope not their last trip, to the Philippines. Now, on that trip, I focused on two things: training preachers, bring them in from the city, and have a venue where we can have air conditioning and tables and give them some literature, and then we study for several days. But then other times, going out into the countryside and visiting the churches and preaching the gospel. Now, in that short period, July 3 to August 2, I taught 60 lessons That doesn't count the teaching that Zach and Talia did, and even some Philippine preachers did to help me. In that time period, I baptized 18 people. Do you know any place in the United States that I can go and preach for 3 or 4 weeks and baptize 18 people? Because if you'll tell me where it is, I'll go there. I don't know where that place is. We're too busy with our money and our toys and our relaxed attitude. Most people in this country just are not interested. Now, we've got to keep working at it because there are still some. But it means it's a harvest time, and that's why I keep going back. Now, before I go, brethren come to the house, and we pack boxes. Some I take on the plane, some we ship on ships. And so this is a way the congregation is helping me behind the scenes. And then I went to Metro Manila July 6th through 8th to begin this trip. Elias Cruz is the preacher at the Copper Bahayan Church in Navotas, that's in Metro Manila. Friday and Saturday, I taught the preachers on the theme, "The Bible is the Word of God." We studied the same thing that you and I studied this week. And Taya took part of that time to gather the ladies and teach them. On Sunday, we preached at the Edsa Pasay Church, that's also in the Metro Manila area, with June Gumpad and Sammy Pyatt, and then in the afternoon at Paranaque City with Jimmy Batum. On Monday, we visited some historic sites because I wanted to introduce Zach and Talia to the Philippine history and culture. So when I first arrived at the hotel, some Philippine brethren meet me, and I have to repack those boxes and ship them ahead to the places where we're going to teach. I said that on Friday and Saturday we had those classes for the preachers, and I wanted you to see the living conditions. The church is, well, that's not the church there, but that's as we're approaching. These are little shanties built on top of one another. Those are very light materials. There is cardboard, pasteboard. You would find sheetrock. You would find pieces of tin. You would find plywood, just anything they can nail together. But these people live right off to the side of the church building with a piece of plastic stretched over a wire, and that's their house. That's where they cook. That's where they sleep. That's where they live. Now, in the church building, you'll notice these are airplane seats, and that's because Brother Jerry Tareja works for an airline company, and they were discarding a bunch of airline seats, and he said, "I'll take those." So they use them in the church building. And if you go to the second floor for the classes they have up there, you can sit in first-class seats. How about that? So they use what they can find. This is Brother Zach when he was teaching. They have lots of little children there. It touches your heart. And then you can see the brethren are standing to sing, and you can see those seats that I mentioned there. All right. The theme we studied, "The Bible is the Word of God," is the same that we had this week. We studied the glory of God, inspiration, authority of Scripture, the writing and canon of Scripture, how do we know there's 66, the Apocrypha and other false Scripture, the Bible, God's only true Word. We have two lessons there. All right, now, Friday and Saturday, when we were teaching that series, we had downpour. And the water was so deep here, we had to pull the van up that we used next to the church building and jump over into the van to stay out of the water. And you can see the heavy downpour there are the result of that. Here's how some people make their living. You get a bicycle, attach a little sidecar, now you're a taxi. And there are people doing that who are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. There are little children doing it who are 10 or 15 years old, eking out a living. Somebody will pay just 2 or 3 pesos to ride that pedicab, they call it. Many of the people live hand to mouth every day. All right, on Sunday we preached in the morning at the Edsa Pasay Church, and it meets at, well, you enter at the corner of an old office building. And you go up these steps, And then the brethren have rented the fourth floor, and they've made a nice area there where we can worship. 52 attended that morning. June Gumpad is speaking here, Brother Sammy Pyatt there, and those two men have been working together in that church. Brother Zach spoke on the subject, God Provides, and then I spoke on the Tree of Life for that congregation. June Gumpad and his wife prepared our lunch, and there is rice, and I think we had a piece of pork, and I'm trying to remember if that was some sliced pineapple maybe, but that was our lunch. We were walking through a back hallway and came on some of the boxes. Those boxes have been sent over on a ship, and one of the boxes I brought on the airplane, and they just had not unpacked those yet. All right, on Sunday afternoon, I went to Paranaque City. That's another part of Metro Manila. Most of the people we teach are dirt poor, but the gospel can go to anybody. There's a man named Jimmy Batang who was chief of the police department in the most upscale part of Manila. When you're down in that area, it looks like New York City. He was the chief of police there. Somebody taught him the gospel. He obeyed it. He was on fire. He has taken me to meetings of policemen and into denominations because he has contacts that reach 1,000 directions. And he was determined, we're going to convert somebody. And fishing in those ponds, you don't have much luck. The upscale people, just like in America, are happy with their money. I don't need God. I was afraid he might get discouraged, but no, sir, he didn't get discouraged. You know what he did? He turned his attention to his extended family and started teaching them and baptized one other after another. Baptized most of his children. He's baptizing some of his grandchildren. And so he converted part of his garage as a place to have church. And so on that day, just as we were preparing, a blowing rain came in, and so the water was getting on us, so we went inside, 25 of us cramped in that living room like sardines in a can. But this is Brother Jimmy Batang. Kyle Holness is one of his grandchildren. That young man is 23, 24 years old. You've met people that have a natural talent for music. That's that young man. He can lead a song almost as good as Brother Al can. And then, because there are a lot of those young people in that small church, Zach spoke on 1 Timothy 4:12, where the Bible says, do not be ashamed of your youth. Young people can be an influence in the church. And I preached on the Tree of Life. I love to go to that little church. Now, just to give them an idea of the history, Jerry and Teresa Torreja took us to this huge cemetery, the Manila American Cemetery. 21,000 servicemen are buried there. 152 acres of graves in the Philippine Islands. This is the sacrifice of American blood in World War II. In order to deliver the Philippines from the terrible burden that the Japanese had placed on them. December 7, 1941, when Pearl Harbor was bombed, Manila was bombed the same day. And the Japanese invaded and really were very cruel to those people. Now, one of the interesting things here, these are called the Tablets of the Missing. I think these are carved from limestone. Most of those are a little bit higher than this ceiling. And in small print on both sides of those slabs, 36,286 names of servicemen whose bodies have never been found. Sometimes we don't realize how many Americans had to sacrifice their life in World War II because of the Japanese. So, because of that, there's a very close relationship between the U.S. and the Philippines. Pause a minute, sidebar, Remember when we read Acts 17, 27 a minute ago? God rules the nations. Does anybody remember why he rules those nations? So that men can seek God. God rules even in times of war. I don't understand all of that rule, how he does that, but I can tell you, I can see the result. In this case, the result is we have an open door to preach the gospel in the Philippine Islands. And people are searching for God. We visited some historic sites of ancient Philippine history, meaning going back to the 1500s, the Spanish built this fort when they came and took the Philippines. And in 1896, I think it is, they had a citizen named Jose Rizal, who was very advanced in his thinking, and he was challenging people to read the Bible for themselves and challenging people to realize that democracy is better than the dictatorships that they lived under because of the Spanish. And so the Spanish arrested him with the support of the Catholic Church, and they executed him. And that's a picture that was taken on that day, December 30, 1896. So just like George Washington is our national hero, Jose Rizal is the national hero of the Philippine Islands. We've had a Bible study with that man. I've read some of his writings, and he was questioning the Catholic religion. Well, July 10 to 12, we went to Tagigaraw, Cagayan Province, northern part of Luzon, and this is where Rody and Tessie Gumpad live. You've heard Brother Craig, of course, speak of them. Rody's daughter is married to Ryan, Jennifer. I said that wedding over in the Philippines. And so that's the area where they live. We were with Rody Gumpad at the Metro Tagigaraw Church of Christ. And again, I taught that same series of lessons. The Bible is the Word of God. And Taya held classes for the ladies. And we were able to fly from Manila. These airlines they have are pretty modern. Here's how some of the preachers came. Now, some had to walk, but there are many people in the Philippines that have motorcycles. You can see motorcycles with 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 people stacked on them. Am I telling the truth, Brother Craig? He's been there and seen it. But that's what they have. They had posted this announcement at the church building. 128 attended as we had that 2 days of study there. That's Brother Rody Gumpad, who I'm sure has he visited here, so they've met him. And a group picture with Rody and Tessie. Now here's something that happens. A Christian church preacher heard about the studies we were having, so he wanted to come. Emilio was his name. And so this was after we had dismissed, hot, tired, in the late afternoon, and we went to the house and sat down. And so I just had a Bible study with him right there and answered his questions. And he admitted that he can see the Christian church is not the same Church of Christ in the Bible. I need to ask Rody what's happened there and see what the follow-up was. You see that young boy? He has to be on dialysis 2 to 3 times a week. And this is a terribly poor family. They don't have the money for that. He would be dead if it were not for American brethren who are sacrificing money little by little to keep that young man on dialysis 2 or 3 times a week. Now, Taya taught the ladies, and there were 60 of them that joined in her class. Then we went further to the west from Tagigaraw, still in the Cagayan province. We went to Pamplona, July 13 and 14. We were with Robin Pulveras and the Negritos. Next to the average American, a Filipino is short. You've met Rody, you know that. But the Negritos come from the mountains, and these are tribal people, and they're almost like pygmies. They're very short people. And their features would remind you of American or African blacks. They're much darker. Their hair is kinky in style. Now, they're very, very poor, very, very humble, and these are some of the most receptive people to the gospel you can find. I have preached to as many as 700 at one time. 700 people. And I was telling the story after lunch to some that one of the scenes I can never forget to my dying day is preaching under this brush arbor, just put up some poles and cover it with plastic and limbs. It started raining and the water was dropping in on the people and on me too. And I had my Bible open and it dripped into my Bible. And I was thinking, maybe I should just stop preaching, it's raining. But nobody was moving. They were just like you, just sitting, listening, and focused on the lesson. So I realized you just need to go on and teach. And so I'm stepping back and forth, trying to stay out of the water as it's dripping on me. But I noticed on the perimeter, in my peripheral vision, there was a lady with about four young children and an infant in her arms. And when I would look out on the audience and look this way or that way, but she kept moving. I had no idea why. But I turned around to write on the blackboard. It stood up off the ground. Maybe the bottom of it would be about maybe 2 feet high. And when I turned around to write on that blackboard, there she was sitting in the dirt with the infant in her arms. She put those four children right next to her in the dirt, and the water dripping down on the blackboard was running on her head, and she was sitting there listening to every word of the gospel. Are you hungry enough that you would hear a gospel sermon that way? People in the Philippines are that hungry. Do you see why we need to go and preach to them? I won't ever forget that. Now, along the roadside, Brother Robinson preaches in this building. With the help of U.S. Brethren, they've been able to put up a good-sized building. There were 50 in attendance there, two that were baptized that day. Brother Zach spoke on the Church of Christ is different, and I spoke on the subject, trust God till the danger passes. A few of the Negritos were there, but primarily we have to go out to them. So here's how we go. We went down this road out into the countryside. Can you see those steps at the back here? That's a small elementary school. We had permission to go into that area to teach. And this is where we taught. You can see that is covered with dried palm branches. And the people are just sitting on the desk of the school children. Now, when you get that far out, you need to translate the lesson. Most places we can teach in English because it's English in the schools. So out in those distant areas, we need a translator. Rhody Gumpad translated actually for both of us that day. And two were baptized, and the way we baptized them, we had to go to a swimming pool and pay a fee. So that's why it was nighttime by the time we got there and baptized those two. Now the next day, we went to another group of the Negritos. Again, you can see we're driving out into the country here. Here's a hand pump. That's how they get their water. Here we are cooking food, and wouldn't you like to live in that hut? That's where you're going to live with your children, your family. Maybe there's six of you or 10 children, and that's where you're all going to live. And then I think that's somebody's supper waiting to be prepared. I saw that little piglet tied up, took his picture. Here's some ladies who are cooking, took pictures of these little children. This child has toys. What are those toys? Remember when we had glass soda pop and you have the top on it? The tops are his toys. That's what he's playing with. Here's some fella that had one of those pedicabs and he built something on the side of it to turn it into a store. He brought the store to the people. And there's some more of these children, and these are the conditions that those people live in. Here's their church building. Here are their comfortable seats. It's just a slab of wood. Would you sit on a slab of wood for 2 or 3 hours to study the gospel? They did. There were three that came forward to be baptized. You can see that Rhody is short, but they're shorter than him. His hair is straight. That's typical Philippine hair. Their hair is kinky. So way back in history, they've been mixed with other blood. I don't know, of course, when and how, but you can just see that. All right, that gives you enough of that. Now, we travel further. We're still in the Cagayan province, further west, and then get into the Ilocos province, Ilocos Norte, Luag City, July 15 to 16 on Sunday with Matt Sabayan at Luag City, on Monday with Vic Domingo at Escoda in an area called Marcus. Now, as we're entering Ilocos Norte, we're on high mountains, and then we'll go down from that. And so Zach went out on a tree limb to take pictures. If he fell off of that, it's about, I would guess, 200 or 300 yards down before he would hit the bottom. The South China Sea is there. We passed some waterfalls, beautiful pictures. We passed a place where people were selling rocks, and I had a young boy that wanted some Philippine rocks. So I was able to stop and get him a selection of rocks. All right, then on Sunday morning, this is the church building in Luag City. They have a nice building, 3 floors. Years and years ago, I helped raise money when they built that building. And you can see the audience here, Brother Zach teaching. As soon as we finished, we ran out to the edge of town. There's a church that meets in a small home because I think 3 of those people are handicapped, and they cannot climb the stairs at the church building, so they meet in their home. Brother Zach was teaching, and I put a circle here around their tray for the Lord's Supper, for the cups. I don't know if you can see that very well, but it's wood with just holes drilled in the wood. One of the elders where I preach makes those, and I send those over, and so that's one of the first times I have seen it in use. As soon as we finished that, we grabbed a sandwich, and then we went to the jail. Here's a woman in jail looking out the window. I don't know why she didn't just come over and join us, but she did. And here are the inmates that gathered in an area where they allow us to enter. A brother is translating for me. I preach till, trust God till the danger passes. Okay, so started in the morning with that service, next to the home service, next to the jail service. And then, about 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon, we're out in the country at Sanayat. And Brother Matt Sabayan has an extension on his house. And that's where the saints meet in that place. As I remember, probably there were about 60 people there, including some widows, Brother Matt and the widows. I took their pictures. Because a blind man, where I preach, had given me $50 to help some widows. And this is when I was able to help those. It was almost dark when we went out and baptized these 5 precious souls. We passed the next day on Monday, going to Escoda, a funeral procession. I don't know if you've ever seen a funeral procession like that. This would mean somebody a little beyond that poorest level was being buried. But when we go to Escoda, this is well out into the country. It took about 10 years to build that church building. And I visited it all during the stages. I visited it one time when the roof was up, but there was no ceiling. And I was sitting on the front where Mike is, looking up at the bats that were hanging all across the building. But anyway, time went by. Brethren have helped them. And they actually, on a Sunday, can have about 200 attendants. There were 80 gathered on that day. Brother Roger Borja is one of our best translators. He was helping Zach. In the afternoon, we went out to the Cacafian Church. That's out in the mountains. The government formed a community for NPAs who have surrendered. NPAs are communists. In the mountains, they're still communists fighting the government. But when they convince them to surrender, they try to make a transition for them. So here's a community of these surrendered people. And we preached there. There's the church building they have. You can see the people, Brother Rex Bayaka translating as I was, or that's Zach preaching on God Provides. And let me introduce you to Sister Ling Ling. I met her on one of my first trips. Somebody was going to be baptized, and we walked through the grass, the rice fields, to find a rice well to baptize this person. Tears just running down her cheek because she was so happy to see somebody baptized. Let me tell you why she was happy. She was one of those communist soldiers. She carried a weapon. She fought. And on a certain occasion, she with another soldier were hiding in a ditch, and the government was sweeping that area. And when the military saw those two in the ditch, immediately they turned their guns and shot the man, turned their gun to shoot her, and one of those men thinking on his feet said, "Stop! Before you pull that trigger, I have seen her visiting where the Church of Christ is preaching." She obeyed the gospel, and now she spends her time to go up in those mountains and teach children. She loves to teach children. And she goes to that area where the NPAs are settled. And I love Sister Ling Ling. All right. We flew to Manila, from Manila to Cebu City on the island of Cebu, July 17 to 19. We were with Jonathan Carreño at the Cebu City Church of Christ. I had that same series for the preachers in that place. Taya held classes for the ladies, as we had been doing. The church meets in the Lyon Building. That's an old, well-known hotel that has been changed into an office building. And we have to go up to, I think it was the 12th floor, but 66 were in attendance. That's Jonathan Carreño. And we taught those 2 days of classes, "The Bible is the Word of God." Here's Taya teaching the ladies' class. There were 30 in her class, and they told me that she did an excellent job. I mentioned those boxes I carry. We bring Bibles, tracts, workbooks, all kinds of study material. And when we dismiss the second day, we spread it all out and let the preachers come and select those materials. We take so much for granted. They don't have access to such study materials. If they did, they don't have the money to buy it either. So it's a joy to me to take those things to the brethren. I stepped in a room where they teach the children, and I saw they had Jesus Loves Me, but that chart is the back of a calendar. They just make do with what they have. And they had a poster here teaching. And I noticed some of the workbooks that we have shipped over to the Philippines they were using for their children. Then I went to Davao City, which is way down to the south on the island of Mindanao, July 21 to 24. On Friday and Saturday, we traveled from Cebu City to Manila. Zach and Taya had to go home ahead of me, and that's when I went down to Davao City. Sunday, I was at the Lower Madapo Church with Robert Axel, and then at that night time at the New Matina Church with Juanito Balbin. Monday and Tuesday, I taught that class again for the preachers. Now, where Brother Axel lives and preaches, that's a graveyard, hundreds of graves. And this is a muddy path. We're walking way off to the side on some boards trying to stay out of the mud. And here is their meeting house, and you can see the people have come in. And over on the side, they had a children's class. And again, Brother Layman Byers' wooden trays for the Lord's Supper. They had it stacked double. But Robert Axel is a very good man. I respect him. He's working in the poorest area where the people live among the tombs. In the afternoon, they took me out to the country, and way back there is Mondo Hill, and you have those NPAs again. Those communists are there. And the brethren go out to those mountains and preach to them, and there can many of them. because of Muslim uprisings on the island of Mindanao, you have martial law. So when you enter a city, the cars have to get in line, and the military will check every car one by one. They have to do that because of the danger of the Muslims. That night, I was at the Davao City Church. That's a good-sized congregation, and I spoke on the Tree of Life. Monday and Tuesday, we had that class for the preachers, and I have to rent a facility called the Homitory. You can rent rooms of different sizes. 50 people attended. Jack Jacko, Don Mabasa helped me do some of the teaching, and you can see the men are lining up to pick up materials when we had finished. All right, then, to Kitakal, Malungdan, in the Sarangani province, July 25. Still down in southern Mindanao. On Wednesday, I was with Don Don Carayona, and this is way out in the country, but fairly nice little church building there. Don Don wanted to marry Sel Sandoval, and they asked me to ceremony, and this little girl was there. Very often it's so hot that some of the people sit outside, and you can see them there. One lady came forward to be baptized that afternoon. When I first arrived, I saw something just at times, but I didn't focus on it. That looks familiar. But I was busy with the wedding and then busy with the preaching. After we dismissed and things kind of wound down, that's my suit. We had shipped some clothes over there, and I realized that's an old suit I used to wear. And so that young preacher had my suit on. I didn't tell him that, but I took a picture with him. And then we went to General Santos City, July 26, 27, still down in southern Mindanao, Thursday and Friday with Jolly Hulam. We taught the preacher's class for 2 days again. And again, I had to rent a facility there because the brethren don't have a facility that you could have a class like this. We planned for 60 people. 94 people showed up. Some of them were denominational preachers. They hear about the classes, and they're curious, and they come. And so we don't turn them away, of course. And there was one baptized that week. There's another young man that's been kept alive by brethren who are sending funds to Julie Natarte. And here they are after we dismissed. And again, these are some Philippine preachers that helped me with the teaching for that period of time. All right, and then to Padala and Kiblawan, Davao del Sur province, July 28 to 30, as we were coming to the end of the trip. At Padala with Julie Natarte. That's a very good brother that's very sacrificial. Then Sunday and Monday at Kiblawan with Ben Kanyada. So here we are at the Padada Church. That small building was put up by money. Brethren have sacrificed to send over there. I taught first principle lessons. We had one baptized that day. It was extremely hot and humid. I was soaking wet when we finished. Sunday and Monday, we were at this place, Kiblawan, with Ben Kanyada. This is the tomb of his wife just beside the church building. She recently died from heart failure. There were 5 people baptized after we taught those 2 days there. And that brings me back to Manila at the end of the trip. On Tuesday, I traveled from Davao to Manila. On Wednesday, one of the highlights of every trip, I have 1 day to go to the Philippine Bible Society. At a discounted price, I can buy Bibles in their dialects. The preachers tell me, I need Bibles. I need 5 Bibles. I need 100 Bibles. So I bring their addresses. And this time, I bought 495 Bibles. That's where brethren help me. I don't have the money to do that, of course. I have ordered as many as $10,000 worth of Bibles at times. And so this is the story where we go, and what a joy to put Bibles in the hands of people that have never owned a Bible. It's worth the whole trip just for that. David in distress was longing for God. we should be longing for God. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, he said. We need to long for God. God is found by those who seek him. We are seeking him tonight. That's why we're here. You might be seeking God because you have learned that God in love seeks man. Man in need seeks God. Salvation means God's greatest love meets man's greatest need. And thirsty Philippines are seeking God. And oh, that we all would have that heart to seek God. Christ is calling thirsty souls today. You know, we keep mentioning the Lord will return, and that's true, he will. Why does the Lord keep extending a little more time? Have you thought about that? Why did the Lord allow us to live this day? Well, the answer is, he is still calling thirsty souls. He is still looking for someone that will seek God. That might be you. That might be you. Remember Romans 6, 3 and 4? The blood of Christ cleanses penitent believers when they submit to Christ in baptism. Know you not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, baptized into his death? If you need to obey the gospel tonight, why not step forward and do it? Make that decision, and the Lord will wash away your sins. Begin a new life and be faithful to the end. Maybe you have been a Christian in the past, but you've fallen back into sin. A patient Savior is waiting for you to come home. God extended this day of life. He's waiting for you. Will you come? If you need to come, do it right now while we stand and sing the song.
And along the hills of life.